come to the stage, my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir, and you have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there?
Good morning, great morning, great day. Welcome to your morning energizer, your morning inspiration. Welcome to the morning faith boost. I believe we've been having an amazing week understanding who we are as the authentic seed of Abraham. I mean, it just keeps getting better and better and better and better. It's just exciting. And yep, it's Friday, so it means that we've come to a good place to wrap it up, you know, just a good place to wrap it up, you know, and then we've had a good time anyway. So yesterday I told us that, you know, this morning we'll be talking about the fullness of the Abrahamic blessing, the fullness of Abraham's blessing. Now I've given the hints, you know, somewhere on the first and the second day of this particular teaching. So Galatians chapter 3. Alrighty. Praise God. So Galatians 3. And then we pick the 13th verse. Okay, maybe we'll just do from the 7th verse of Galatians chapter 3. Don't forget, yesterday we looked at the law versus faith. The law is not of faith. Faith is not of the law. So there are only two major ways in the Bible to receive the blessing. Number one is through the law, and the other is through faith. We made it all clear yesterday. It's all clear in Galatians chapter 3. Please read it. If King James is too uncertain for you with the language used, use NLT. Makes it simpler. You could even use the New King James, NKJV. All right, just most important thing about reading the Bible is reading to understand. Okay, so you've got to understand. Bible says in all you're getting, get understanding. So let's not just be religious about, well, I'm reading it. Do you get it? Remember, in Acts chapter 8, you know, when Philip joined himself to the Ethiopian eunuch, right? He saw him reading the scriptures and he asked him, "Understandest what thou readest? Do you understand what you read?" You know, and the man said, "Well, no, except someone interpreted to me." So Philip sat with him, you know, and picked from there, revealed Christ unto him. So it's not enough to just read, guys. Let's endeavor to understand. And that's why you could, you could get a Bible app like the YouVersion. It has very many translations of the Bible, versions of the Bible. Just compare. Okay, this English here is not clear. All right, go check another. Oh, it's clearer here. Then you go back. If you're, you know, a child of King James, if you get what I mean. So you could just check, maybe check NLT, check NIV, you know, just check around, come back. Oh, now I think I get it. Now I think I get it. Now I think I get it. You know, because yes, I agree, King James is quite close to, you know, the original translation, like the Bible scholars get to tell us, you know. So yeah, but NLT, I'm told, is also, you know, pretty much close. So just move around, check. But my point really is, it's not enough to say you read it, you've got to get it. Okay, so this is Galatians chapter 3. So Galatians 3, I said we'll pick from 7. So pick it from 7, all right? So Galatians 3 from 7 makes it clear that the real children of Abraham are those who put their faith in God. The real, he uses the word real now. The real children of Abraham are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scriptures looked forward to this time when God will make the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. Please note faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, "All nations will be blessed through you." Verse 9. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing received because, share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. I'll take 9 again. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Okay, so by believing in Christ, all right, in the finished work of Christ, in his death, burial, and resurrection, by confessing Jesus as your Lord, you automatically become a recipient of the Abrahamic blessing. All right, by believing in the finished work of Jesus, in his death, burial, and resurrection, and by confessing Jesus as your Lord, you automatically become a recipient of the Abrahamic blessing. So verse 7 again says the real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. Verse 9 says, so all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing received, you know, Abraham received because of his faith. Verse 10 now says, but those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scriptures say, curses everyone who does not obey all the commandments of written in the law, or in God's, you know, book of the law. 11 then. So it is clear that no one can be made right with God by keeping the law. For the scripture says it is through faith that a righteous person has life. 12. This way, all right, of faith is very different from the way of the law, which says it's through obeying the law a person has a life. So two things we see here. 11. So it is clear that no one can be made right with God by keeping the law. For the scripture says, all right, it is through faith that a righteous person has a life. 12. This way of faith is very different from the way of the law, all right, which says it is through obeying the law that a person has life. So it's talking about, all right, receiving eternal life. He's talking about the righteousness that is of God. These are gifts of God. These are gifts of God. And these really are like pointers into a direction I believe we'll move into from next week. Now, 13. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, curses anyone who hangs on a tree. 14 is where we're going. That's the key verse for today. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. 14 again. through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. So when God met Abraham, and then God blessed Abraham, and then God actually told Abraham, this promise is to you, this promise is to your children, this promise is to you, this promise is to your children, this promise is to you, this promise is to your children. Now, there was prosperity, all right? He had the child, all right? I mean, he had protection, he had preservation, he had everything he was going to have. So Abraham was a blessed man. If you remember, we read right in Genesis 24 that God had blessed Abraham in all things, in all things, in all things. But Bible now gives a pointer. There was something God told Abraham, all right? So verse 14 again says that through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers in Christ Jesus, all right, might receive the promise, Holy Spirit, through faith. Allow me to take you to Hebrews. Now, I know we've mentioned this, but I still want to take you to Hebrews 11. So Hebrews 11, we'll pick it from the 13th verse. Hebrews 11, 13, all right, or where? We could read a bit, okay? So if you don't mind, we could read it from verse 8, okay? It was by faith, all right, that Abraham obeyed God when he called him to leave home to go to another land that God would give him as inheritance. Please follow what's happening here. To go to another land that God would give him inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. Even when he reached the land God promised him, watch this now. He got to the place. I want you to see how spiritual Abraham is, because I will do you a lot of disfavor or disservice if at the end of me teaching you about the blessing of Abraham, we stop at material things. Oh, I'm the seed of Abraham, so I'm prospering. Oh, I'm the seed of Abraham, so I have my baby. So yes, but listen, are those inclusive? Yes. Genesis says that God blessed Abraham in all things. But there's the promise that was made to Abraham. And don't forget, God is hunting down the children of Abraham to bless them. You remember that? God showed up to Isaac, said, I made a promise to your papa, I've got to bless you. God showed up to Jacob, I made a promise to your grandpapa and then to your papa, so I'm going to bless you. So God is making promises to the children of Abraham. God is hunting them down to bless them, to finish what he said to Abraham. So Bible is telling us, all right, that Abraham, verse 9, even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner, living in tents. So did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. He got to the land, he got to the physical land, yet he kept living by faith. Verse 10 now, Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations. A city designed and built by God. King James says a city whose builder and maker is God. So Abraham got to the physical place of promise, but he said, no, there's more to this thing. I wish and I would to God that his own children will walk in so much abundance. I keep saying, no, everything about my life is not natural. There is the eternal side of my story. Because that's what Abraham did. All right, 11 says, it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old, she believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead, a nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand in the seashore, there was no way to count them. Please note from verse 13, all these people died still believing what God promised them. No way. No, but they got the promise. No, Bible said they died still believing. But they had prosperity. Oh, but the barren had children. Oh, but they had preservation. Oh, but they had defense from God. Oh, but they had God lifting and changing their stories and blessing them. Yes, but all these still died believing what God promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it from a distance and they welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads with all their prosperity, with all their abundance. They kept on saying, we're pilgrims, we're pilgrims, we're pilgrims. Hallelujah. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they would have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. Glory to God. These men were sensitive to the Spirit. They were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, because he had prepared for them a city. He had prepared for them a city. He had prepared for them a city. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Are you getting this thing? So they were looking for a city. They said, no, it's not this Cana. So while some are saying, oh, Cana is a promised land. Oh, let's go to Jerusalem. And all, even the people that were originally given the promise, when they got to the land, they said, no, this is not the land. There's something else that is not earthly. There's something that is spiritual. This is not the place. Oh, there's a land of the Spirit. They knew there was something spiritual about the promise. They knew that we got the babies, we got the jobs. I mean, well, not jobs. I mean, we got increase like a Joseph. I mean, we got liftings, we got blessings. We many things happened to us, but no, we still didn't get it. So imagine them telling generation after generation, God promised us something. We're rich, guys. We're really blessed, guys. As we're really, really rich, guys. Anywhere we find ourselves, we're going to increase, guys. But there's still something we're waiting for. There's still something we're waiting for. No wonder the Jews kept on waiting for the Messiah. They knew there was someone called the Anointed One that will finally change their story. Their lands were prosperous. Good things happened to them. But they kept on knowing there was a spiritual dimension to this promise. We don't have it yet. We don't have it yet. They looked for a city. Let me willingly, freely, joyfully get ahead of myself. By the time we get to the 12th chapter of Hebrews from 22, it says, we have now come to Mount Zion. All right, the heavenly Jerusalem. They were sensing it. They knew there was something. They knew. Oh, you could try to picture the joy in these men's faces when Jesus came to get them out of Abraham's bosom and led them to heaven at his resurrection. Kai, imagine the joy. They said, yes, yes, we've waited for so long. We've waited for so long. We just finally can enter, because they could never enter into heaven until the new creation was ready. So I'm like, what are you saying? It's still Hebrews 11, verse 39. It says, all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. None of them received it. All these guys received a good reputation by faith, all right? But yet none of them received all that God has promised. 40 says, for God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. So what was the perfection? The perfection is eternal life. The perfection is now you getting into the full reward of salvation. They couldn't get it without us. So they had to wait until Jesus would die, until Jesus would be buried, until Jesus would be resurrected, until there was a new creation. So they couldn't be made new creations without us. So the fullness of the blessing is a new creation. Hallelujah. The fullness of the blessing is the Holy Ghost. The fullness of the blessing is righteousness in Christ Jesus. The fullness of the blessing is eternal life. That's the fullness of the blessing. Hi, someone hearing me this morning. That's the fullness of the blessing. That's the fullness. It's not just the mundane. It's not the material. They had it all. These men were blessed. I mean, yes, some of the prophets lived like cavemen and all of that. These men, but at least they had certain levels of fullness. They even had dimensions of the Spirit of God. But they just knew that there was more they didn't have. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll pick it from the 9th verse. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 9. Okay, verse 8. It says, you love him even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and rejoice with glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your soul. So please get this. And the salvation is talking about the final, all right? 10 now says, this salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know about, all right? This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know, or know more about, when they prophesied about the gracious salvation prepared for you. Are you noticing now? They were busy prophesying about something that will happen in our own time, but they wanted to know about it. They were wondering, what's this all about? 11 explains it further. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking. Already used within them because of the prophetic spirit. It was more on them. He didn't reside within them permanently, and you know that. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's sufferings and the glory, the great glory afterward. Look at verse 12. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Ghost sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. So the whole story of us being made new creations, us being transformed and everything, the prophets were talking about it. But they kept prophesying about something. They kept wondering, how's this thing going to happen? How's this thing going to happen? So these men had the promises. We got the fulfillment. Bible says even the angels are eagerly watching things happen. They're like, whoa, okay, wow, okay, whoa, okay, wow, okay, whoa. Okay, like, wow. So guys, we've got something those generations didn't have. We've got something these people did not have. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Colossians chapter 1. I mean, Paul is speaking in Colossians chapter 1. And guys, may we not become too familiar with scripture. Colossians 1, 27 says, for God wanted them. 25. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. I want you to follow now. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. This message, 26, I'm using the NLT today, all right? This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. Please notice, this message that God is asking Paul to preach now was kept as a secret for centuries, guys. I mean, a century is 100 years. So for centuries, for hundreds of years, this obviously predates Christ. This message was kept for centuries, for generations past. But now it has been revealed to God's people. All right, 27. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And that is the secret. Watch this, right? All right. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance, all right, of sharing his glory. Christ in you, if you already can picture what I'm reading from, you know, in the King James, what I'm using in NLT. Christ lives in you. It's been a secret that Christ will live in all humanity. It was a secret kept from ages, from generations. It's been kept for centuries. Prophets kept talking about it. They didn't get what it really was. They knew where they were saying something. Abraham knew that something was coming. Isaac, these men knew. So in blessing, God blessed them, guys. In abundance, they were abundant. But they kept on waiting. There was something missing. And it was a fullness of the Spirit. Oh, my goodness. It was a fullness of the Spirit. There was what the law could never give. The law could not give life. The law could not give life. I'll pick that from the King James in Galatians chapter 3. Two words the Bible uses there. The word law could not give life. Righteousness could not come by the law. All right? Galatians 3 now. So it says the law couldn't give life. And it says righteousness. Could not come by the law. Let me switch to King James. King James puts it just the way I want to read it that way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So that's Galatians chapter 3, verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. Watch this now. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been given by the law. I'll take that again. If there had been a law which could have given life, then righteousness would have been given by the law. That means, number one, the law could not give life. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 calls it a ministration of death. The law could not give life. It now says, number two, righteousness would have been given. So these were some of the things missing. They didn't have eternal life. Number two, they didn't have righteousness. They couldn't get it because by the works of the law will nobody become righteous. All right, we find that in the 11th verse. We've read it in NLT. You might not have gotten the clear language like that in NLT. All right, but King James says, but that no one is justified. To be justified is to be made righteous. For that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. So we see the three major gifts mentioned here. Righteousness, eternal life, the Holy Ghost. I'll take that again. Three major gifts are mentioned here. Righteousness, eternal life, and the Holy Ghost. And I'm perceiving in my heart for the next 3 weeks, we're going to deal with these gifts. All right? Don't forget, three major gifts mentioned here. And the Bible calls them gifts. Romans chapter 6 and 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So it mentions eternal life as a gift in Romans 6, 23. In Romans 5 and 17, Romans 5 and 17, we're told, all right, that by one man's offense, death reigned by one, all right, the same way that they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life by one, which is Christ. So it calls righteousness in Romans, 5 and 17, righteousness is called a gift. Righteousness is called a gift. Righteousness is called a gift. All right. Eternal life is called a gift. Even Jesus said, I have come that you may have life. It's a gift. The Holy Ghost is also called a gift. In John 14, Jesus said, I will pray the Father. He will give you. Gifts are given. He will give you another comforter. But in Acts chapter 2 also, all right, in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, okay, now when they had heard the preaching, they were cut to their hearts and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, all right, what shall we do? I'm reading Acts chapter 2, now verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Watch this, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So righteousness is called a gift. Eternal life is called a gift. The Holy Ghost is called a gift. He said, you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. 39 says, for this promise. And I'm liking the word promise here, because in Galatians 3, we're told there was a promise. In Hebrews 11, we're told these men had the promise, but they didn't get the fulfillment. They got the promise, they didn't get the fulfillment. So in Acts 2, verse 39, Peter uses the word promise. He says, for the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. What promise? The promise of the Holy Ghost. So God, once again in Acts 2, is hunting down the children of Abraham and saying, I've got to bless you. I've got to bless you. What was the blessing? The Holy Ghost. That's the fullness of the Abrahamic blessing. That's the fullness. No wonder Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. That final promise is coming now. Everything has been fulfilled. Everything is now set. I go, and when I go, he will now come. I've now gone. I've come to do it all. I've come to prepare, to set the stage. He can now come. The one Abraham has been waiting for. No wonder Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and he was glad. God said, God told Abraham, through you will all the nations of the earth be blessed. I know we've applied it to say, oh, through my business, lives, my business is going to go all over the world and this will happen all over. Yes, but Galatians 3 makes it clear that all God was saying to Abraham was that the gospel will be preached and that Gentiles are coming into it. And that's what Peter says here, for the promise is to you, to your children. Specifically now, obviously, maybe addressing a Jewish congregation, but of course, it was a mixed congregation in Acts chapter 2, because people had come from different places on the earth, or even proselytes, all right? Proselytes are people who are converted, all right, to the Jewish religion, who are not originally Jews. Right? So they've come and he says the promises to you, to your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord will call. I mean, that touches the rest of the world. So the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of eternal life, the gift of righteousness. Anybody ready to go on this adventure for the next 3 weeks? Let's look at these three gifts of God. These three beautiful gifts of God. These were the gifts the men could never receive. These were the gifts that they waited for. They could not be made new creatures. They had to wait. They couldn't be made new creatures. They had to wait for us. So now that you and I have the gift of the Holy Ghost, I believe you do. Let's take advantage of his ministry. Jesus said, it is expedient that I go. If I don't go, he will not come. For Jesus to make a statement like that about a person, that person must be important. And he is important. He brings about the fullness of the blessing. By him, Christ can now dwell in our hearts. And that's the message that has been kept for ages. Christ living in you. Christ dwelling in you. The fullness of the Godhead now lives in us. How? By the Holy Ghost. It will still affect us in the area of prosperity, no doubt. It will still help you to get lifted into different dimensions in life. Oh, you can't be barren having the Holy Ghost. And even if the doctor says, let the doctor be watching you, he will watch you right before his eyes. I have all those your babies. Because the Holy Ghost cannot be contained and he will not find expression. But you got to give him room by knowing his ministry and allowing him flow through you. Glory to God. Oh, so good to know we got the gift of the Holy Ghost. So good to know we have the gift of righteousness. So good to know we've got the gift of eternal life. Oh, guys, I'm looking forward to us running through this series for the next 3 weeks. We will be blessed so mightily blessed. So please, wow, it's exciting. All right, follow me on social media in case you are not. All right, follow me on Spreaker. You're already on Spreaker, but follow me, please. If you can, download the app and follow me here. Follow me on Instagram, YouTube. Please subscribe. And on Facebook, Lanre Rex Onosia. Please subscribe and please follow. And then join me on Sunday, every Sunday, 5 to 5:45. All right. For Influence of the Spirit Weekly. It's always an amazing time. I'll be here on Spreaker, on Facebook, on YouTube, and live on Instagram. It's always an amazing time. Listen, enjoy the blessing of Abraham that you got. Enjoy the fullness, and that's the Holy Ghost which you have received. Talk in tongues, listen to his voice, grow in his greater ability on your inside, and have a spirit-filled Holy Ghost weekend. All right, bye.
But he brought me in, oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I. A slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died.